Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
That's a shit club song.
Welcome to the Clicking Balls 2017 season primer for the Western Bulldogs. And my name is Heath, and with me is Josh.
Yep.
And Brenton.
G'day.
Well, firstly, for the Bulldogs, we'll look at 2016, and what more can you say? 15 wins, finished 7th, got the flag.
Yep.
It's the absolute fairy tale. Superlatives have been said, haven't been said about them.
Fantastic at managing injuries at the right time of the season.
Unbelievable. So
managed just to get all together at the end, make a run at it, knock off some fucking great teams in the process, and get the flag.
they went 4 from 4 in the finals, and I tipped against them every single week.
Yeah, I mean, I thought they'd go all right just because their game plan matched up pretty well against the bottom teams, but I didn't think they'd go that far, to be honest. I thought they'd get found out by Sydney with that midfield, but no. What the fuck do we know?
I was loving life at the end of the season. I was the only one that tipped the Bulldogs to win the flag, you know, in the grand final. Like, I didn't have them that far out. But won me the tipping comp and a free dinner and some beers, so loving life.
It was amazing. It's such a fairy tale, and, you know, things went right. They went right for them at the right time.
Yep.
Even though you lost Bob Murphy in round 3 or whenever it was, and Mitch Wallace snapped his leg in half halfway through the year. God knows how many others. Oh, Jack Redpath went down just before the end of the season. Whatever happened, their game plan was put into play.
Yep.
And the grand final, even though it was close, was played on their terms from the opening bounce.
I know Johannesson got the Norm Smith, but to me, BOG was really the Bulldog supporters. My hairdresser is actually a massive Bulldogs fan. I asked him a couple of months after the grand final when I went in for a cut, said, "How'd you go?" And he's like, "Oh, mate." And then the girls around started laughing. Apparently, he was enjoying the day so fucking much that he got so blind drunk, fell down the stairs on level 3, got kicked out at three-quarter time, watched the game by jumping the fence in the little sectioned-off area with the Perspex and everything. I watched the end of the game, celebrated there, got a bit too rowdy, stood on the bar, fell down, cut his eye open, got kicked out again, ended up wandering random parts of Footscray, jumping into pubs, jumping into people's home parties, and ended up wandering in with his jeans torn off, one shoe, and a singlet around his head. And the wife just said, "Well, that's it. You've been to one footy match for the season and you're done."
So it's like a Richmond versus Collingwood game.
Pretty much. But week out. No regrets for him. He loved the day.
I'm sure there's none. None regrets whatsoever.
But he did mention that if they make the grand final again, he may not be allowed to go.
By court order. But I'm sure that story, you can probably change one or two details and it applies to about 1,000 or so different fans.
Oh, yeah. Shit, yes. And that was the best part. They really did party like it was the last one they'd see in their lifetime, because for many of them, they thought the last one might have been.
And you brought up JJ, who also had a great comeback during the year, because he pulled his hammy around 3 or 4 early on in the season. And when he came back, that kicking the winning goal against Sydney in Sydney turned out to be a real highlight for him for the year until finals came around. Still for mine, though, not that it takes any gloss off it, wasn't Norm Smith medal.
I don't think so either.
I even tipped him for the Norm Smith, and then I was watching the game thinking, fuck, he's kicking to the opposition a lot.
Yeah, especially in the first half. Having said that, it doesn't really matter. At the end of the day, he's got 2 medals. So, but Tom Boyd, they sold the house to get him.
Yep.
And when, you know, this is a long-term investment. He's not worth the money we're paying him right now.
Yeah.
He turned that game.
Well, and obviously they knew what they were doing as well. Because, like, obviously the strategy with him was right, but also the young people they picked up turned out to be phenomenal players that could fill in when the injuries held up. So, I mean, their recruiting team is doing an absolutely fantastic job.
Hey, Caleb Daniels played 30 games. Yeah. He was eligible for the Rising Star Award.
Yep.
I didn't realise... I knew he was young. He obviously looked it.
Yep.
I didn't realise he was that young.
Yeah, yeah.
And criminal that he didn't win it, to be honest.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, going through his history of how he went in the juniors, he was always an exceptional footballer. So the question mark was always going to be, how's he going to translate that to AFL? And if he can...
At that height, yeah.
Many people didn't think that he could. But obviously, the Bulldogs, they know exactly what they're doing and where they fit into their team. And, yeah, you can't put him out of the team, out of the top starting 22 at the moment.
No. He's top. He's in their starting midfield, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And obviously, you know, like I said, he's only played 30 games. He's got another 200 odd.
Yeah, that's exactly right to
go with him. So yeah, it could not have ended any better for the Bulldogs. And you know, their first grand final in 50 odd years and premiership number two.
Yeah,
I don't think anybody begrudges any Bulldogs fans for over celebrating.
Not at all. There's that moment where you're like, shit, they're gonna win it.
Yeah,
you know? Even I was like, oh, I'm kind of excited. This is, you know, like a momentous occasion. Yeah,
you know, there's a lot of Bulldog supporters in our family, and we thought, you know, they're never going to see it. Yep. All those prelim finals they lost in the 90s.
My first team.
My first Guernsey was a Footscray Guernsey.
I reckon I've still got the little memorabilia coin that you got out of the advertiser. Yeah. It was. That's when I had to pick my team at 5 years old or something.
I'll tell you, even if you're the staunchest Swan supporter, which... By that I mean you know all the players. When Luke Beveridge presented that medal, you had to just be like, all right, that's fair enough.
No, I'll be honest, I didn't like it.
No, I thought that's just the ultimate looking out for the players under your sort of gesture.
Yeah, exactly. But I knew that Bob Murphy's going to give it back to him because he doesn't want it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Why would you want a medal that you weren't there for? And that's the brutality of Australian sport is only the players on the day get the medal, except for Leon Davis. But I love that brutality. I love it. It's so cut and dry. To then go, well, I'm going to give it to somebody else. It doesn't matter how much he earned it. It doesn't count.
I like the gesture, though, because at least it shows to the players underneath him that, you know, here's a bloke who looks out for his players. And all those players that saw that, how much more likely are they to look to Beveridge's inspirational leadership kind of thing?
Yeah, I think you've already won a flag. I think leadership's right. There, isn't there?
Yeah.
Like,
thank God Jesus gave everyone that fish, because otherwise...
What I did like was calling him up onto the stage to present the cup.
Yeah.
That, to me, it does everything like that. Saying, hey, you are part of this club, you're a leader of this club, even when you're, you know, sitting in rehab. I thought that was perfect. I thought giving him the medal was just... I wouldn't say cringy, but I
liked it. I thought it was fantastic. It was a great gesture.
I'm clearly in the minority, though.
Well, I'm not a kind person, so I thought it was a bit cringy.
But I think it's just one of those... You forgive all that sort of cringy shit when you're caught up in the moment.
Yeah.
Like, grown men crying is cringy, but when it's your team and you never thought you'd see a flag in your lifetime kind of thing... Fuck it. Have a tear, mate. Go for it.
It wasn't as bad as the little Oz kicker. You're my hero. Which from 2015 grand final with Hawthorn.
No,
2014. Giving his medal to Luke Hodge.
Oh, okay.
Which, you know, wasn't set up at all. They just happened to have the microphone within and the camera in.
What they actually asked him to say was, you're my dad.
Another father-son pick. No worries. Okay, so 2017 coming up for the Bulldogs. They had a busy off-season still, so let's have a look at that.
Well, the big one obviously being Cloak.
Yeah, we'll get to the ins, but we'll do the outs first.
Oh, we'll do that.
Jed Adcock, who's moved on. A little bit surplus to needs anyway. They got him after he got pissed off being at Brisbane. Joel Hambling's gone back home, which is a shame for them because obviously he got his premiership medal and was very good down back for them.
Yep.
Yeah. And still in a nice age bracket too. Now, Horvat, are we going with that?
Horvat? Yeah, why not?
Horvat. And Kobe Stevens, who I was surprised with Kobe Stevens. But again, another one of those players that's always been there or thereabouts.
Yep.
And now I think a few others have gone past him.
Yeah.
And big Will Minson, who at times looked like a genius and other times looked like he could be the dumbest bloke out there.
Yeah, still plays solid games for the Rezzies, though. That's the thing.
That's it.
He was a real, like, A-grade Rezzy player, if that's a thing.
It is. And he'd been around for quite a while.
Yeah.
At the Bulldogs.
But looks like he knows his way around a Bali footy trip too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. it did show the writing was on the wall. I think he was lucky to get a contract for this year. Yeah. Sorry, for 2016 anyway.
Yeah.
But when the Bulldogs didn't have a recognised ruckman,
yep.
and they still went, nah, we'll go with the part-timers, mate.
Sorry, yeah,
mate.
Exactly.
I think he knew where he was.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be a few Bulldogs players looking for a raise come contract time, so I think they've got to start sort of adjust all that nice problem they're going to have.
Well, I mean, they're going to have some space built into their cap coming forward anyway, because Tom Boyd was front-loaded, yeah. I think. Mm. And I think they're still paying Ryan Griffin.
I think
right,
that's
yeah.
finished now, isn't it? I thought 2016 was the last year.
No, 2016 was the first year.
So, oh, okay.
So I've got a feeling it was 2 or 3 years.
Okay.
But I could be wrong. I'm not sure. But certainly they were paying at least 1 year.
So you wipe your ass those bills before you send them off.
Well, now, I mean, it doesn't matter, does it? I mean, you got a flag.
Yeah.
What more do you need? And the big in, like Josh foreshadowed there, was Travis Cloke. A shrewd move by Cloak, actually, to get... he was on 1 year at Collingwood at $800,000, so instead he's got 2 years at the Bulldogs for $400,000 each.
Well, I mean, leaving Collingwood shows his decision-making has remarkably improved.
When someone explained that math to him, he would be pretty stoked.
Well, actually, it works out well because you get a bonus, a superannuation bonus for every year in the AFL, so he's actually just doubled up on that, even though you get the same amount of money.
And let's be honest, less pressure, and might spend half of it in the resis.
Well, less pressure, except for round one, if he lines up in round one, because that'll be against Collingwood.
I hope they do.
You've got to.
I want to see him have a good game against Collingwood, just to see Collingwood lose their fucking mind.
Surely someone at Bulldogs got a sense of humour too, like, ah, fuck it, let's put him
in. We got to.
Yeah, it's going to make or break this man, but hey.
I just want to see him come on, take off the sub vest, and everyone going, hang on, we're not doing that rule, are we? Fuck it, let it go, see what happens.
I'd love to see him come on and play centre half back, and just absolutely kill it. And like, oh, for fuck's sake!
Yep.
Why didn't I think of that? Says Buckley.
It's exactly what honestly, him just dominate across half back, free up. I mean, him and Easton Wood. He takes the march, and pass off to Easton Wood.
That'd be hilarious if he does play centre half back, have a blinder, and Buckley just comes out saying, "Fuck, who knew he could play a back like every cunt."
He just comes out, all right, someone punch Cloak.
Well, Beveridge was famous for saying, "Everyone, you've got 6 months to learn how to kick on your opposite leg." Yeah. How long does it give Cloak to kick on his preferred leg?
Well, by now, I guess.
It has to be by now. If he's playing in round one, it'll be very exciting to see when the team gets named, which I think will be tomorrow for the Bulldogs.
Honestly, I want to see it just for the venom that's going to come his way. The hate that they have for Daisy Thomas will be a distant memory for the hate they'll have for Cloak if he has a blinder.
Oh, if he kicks his first ever bag of 10 against Collingwood, wouldn't that be horrible?
That'd be terrible, terrible to see, wouldn't it?
Oh, God.
I'll ask for tickets.
I don't care if he retires afterwards.
He could walk off.
Yeah, that's my 10th, lads. See ya.
Kicks his 10th.
Does a lap of honour.
Takes the glove off and just drops the glove like he's dropping the mic.
Just goes home with the ball. Like, we've still got a half a quarter to go. Nah, fuck that.
You know
I'm
what?
Done.
You know what I'd love to see? Scores are level. He's got the ball on the edge of the goal square and just goes, fuck it, and kicks it into the point into the goal post just out of spite.
Gives himself a medal and walks off.
All right, so let's have a look at their draw then. Their double up games for 2017. We've got Brisbane, GWS, North, Sydney, and West Coast. So that's, I mean, it's a tougher draw than they had last year, but you'd expect that when you go all the way.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, the games against Sydney and West Coast. Sydney games are going to be really good. Obviously, the grand final replay.
Yep.
But they knocked off Sydney twice last year, once at the MCG and once at the SCG.
Yep. And, I mean, you'd expect them to kind of get North Melbourne's draw, to be honest. But
North Melbourne's draw is harder. Well, the first half of the season is.
Yep. What can you do? But I agree. I think the Sydney games are going to be fantastic because just the two midfields, the way they match up, brilliant, brilliant to watch. You're going to see, you know, Kennedy and Bontempelli running off each other. You're going to see the two top-class midfields and some bloody decent forward lines just gunning it out.
Well, I mean, the strength of the Bulldogs is they don't have stars at either end of the ground. Yeah. I mean, they've got the stars in the midfield. Bontempelli is, what is he, 21?
Yeah.
And already talking about, you know, how good he's going to be.
Yep.
But, I mean, they don't have somebody who's going to kick 70 goals up forward. No. And they don't have somebody that... you know, who's going to stand Buddy Franklin? Well, it's going to be three or four blokes that are going to be running off him.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the way they moved the ball last year is just unbelievable.
Yeah, and they're just very well drilled. Like, one person drops, the other person picks up his rifle and keeps on marching forward.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah. I mean, Easton Wood's probably the bloke that'll get the Buddy Franklin gig for a fair bit of the crack, but...
Well, not even. He's more the second man up. Because I think in the grand final they played Hambling on him. So you can't do that this year. So somebody's got to do it.
Probably Fletcher Roberts, I suppose.
Somebody like that. Or even Roughhead. He might drop back for a little bit. But the strength of the Bulldogs is it won't be one-on-one with Buddy.
Exactly.
They just don't let that happen. Yeah.
And I don't think they'll tie Easton Wood down playing him with a strict one-on-one role with someone because he's too handy loose.
He's the best intercept mark across half-back.
And he's linking up with Johannesson just bolts down the wing, kicks in the forward line and goes to the ground and Stringer's got it, kicking goals.
Stick Bob Murphy on him.
Yeah, he can heckle him. Something for the stands.
He can tell him stories of when he was a lad.
So... who is going to have a big year for the Bulldogs in 2017?
Well, it's always a tough one to name because no one really steps up. They all play such a sort of round role, a very well-rounded team. But one person I'd like to see continue and even maybe step up and really own that team is Liam Picken. I think he's the hard player that they need, and I think he is sort of in line with that sort of Viney type of player, where a real strong base, always gives 100%, and seems like he's a little mongrel about it as well. So I think he's one that adds that mongrel in.
Top of your head, how old do you think he is?
I think he's about 27.
I think he's closer to 30. He's older than he looks.
Damn.
But he does look like a throwback to the 70s type of stuff, doesn't he? But yeah, he plays younger than he actually is.
Yeah.
For mine, I'm going to jump out and get a roughie of Cramery. I think having the season off, coming back fresh, and if you're not inspired and driven coming into a premiership team after dealing with all that shit he had at Essendon, you're never going to be. And I love how they welcomed him in too. Like the moment the ban ended, he's applauded into the team, welcome back with open arms kind of thing. So for whatever, he's obviously kept in contact with them, can't train.
Well, yeah, that would have been very interesting what he did during the premiership celebrations, because technically you can't be there.
Well, let's be honest, he got married the night before, so he's probably banging
that,
the missus.
That as well, yeah, fair enough, good point.
Not a way to win favour with your teammates either, I might add.
But I think he's a player with a shit ton of potential, and with a full pre-season, which would have been worked out to the nth degree.
We had a long time to prepare for
it. He's going to come in lean, mean, motivated, and with players around him who are pretty fucking good at what they do. So probably sitting at centre half forward, he's going to have a fair bit of time to drop some bombs.
I've got Caleb Daniel down because a lot of the times we talk about second year blues. Well, last year was his second year and he didn't have no blues. I think he's going to become a real leader in their midfield already. In the pint-sized mould that he is. But also, there's been some comparisons between the Bulldogs 2016 and Hawthorn of 2008, being the young team that won the premiership. Like, how did they handle that the following year? And Hawthorn in 2008 did it poorly, obviously. The next year, they missed out on finals. I think that Luke Beveridge might have actually been at Hawthorn. Might have been just after. So he's seen it and obviously knows to prepare for it.
Yep.
But one lad who I know can handle it is Libba. Because he's always been off the chain. This has just made no difference to him. And he is one person that can be the absolute raving idiot off the field and it makes no difference to what he does on the field.
Well, it's just reinforced his behaviour, hasn't it?
Yeah,
exactly. Loose as fuck and we still won the flag. So, I mean, look.
Nothing's changing there.
Over now, exactly.
Yeah. In the off-season, he decides to have a bit of a crack with the Viet team.
Yep, fucking oath. Only person to beat the Viets in 60 years.
Celebrated the NFL by having a weird rant on Snapchat. He's not unit.
Awesome.
Very much in the Chris Lieben mold. yeah. What was his famous saying? You got to sometimes get to dance with a bitch you brought to the prom.
Yeah, yep.
Is that the one where he's for those that don't know, a bit of a story, he's decided to get Chris Lieben is a fighter, UFC fighter who was always mid-card type of guy.
Yep.
Decided to take it serious and got a dietitian for one of his big fights.
Yeah.
Tell me when I've got the things wrong. So followed this diet to the absolute letter for the 8 weeks of fight camp.
Yeah.
And then the dietitian goes to see him 3 days out before the fight, and he's slumped in the corner, pissed as a fart.
Yep.
And he said, "Chris, what the fuck are you doing?" And he goes, "Well, sometimes you just got to dance with the bitch that brought you to the prom."
Yep.
And I think he won that fight too.
What about that? Yeah, yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, his career ended when he ran into Anderson Silva, really.
Wow. So anyway, Lib is my Chris Lieben. Yeah, that was a bit of a side story. And the other big year I'm looking for is from Matty Suckling. Who missed out on the grand final because of injury.
Yeah.
But that lethal left boot of his, we saw it in the JLT series, off two steps from 60, and he cleared the fence.
Jesus.
That's not a... Actually, he hit the fence. It just shows that his injury hasn't taken anything away from his biggest weapon.
Yeah, and I mean, he's one of the sort of surplus at Hawthorn, so it's not a bad pickup for the Bulldogs. Pickup, so yeah. It's just a matter of getting him fit out in the park, and I think he definitely fills in the spot.
His weakness has always been one-on-one, you know, and he's not a physical player, but he has more speed than most people know, and everyone knows how good his kicking is.
Bulldogs aren't a one-on-one team, you know what I mean? They're all about transition and pack plays and working together.
Keep the ball moving, keep running.
Yeah.
It's very hard to keep up with that. And once they get on a roll, it's hard to stop.
Yeah, yeah.
So who's on the outer? Who's on the chopping block for the Bulldogs this year?
The specimen for me.
The package?
No, not Springer. Marcus Adams.
Is he the specimen?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't recall it. Marcus Adams.
Yep. Looks like Tarzan and, you know, decent enough player, but he just didn't get as many games as I thought he would last year. And... I don't know if he slots into the best 22.
Is he still depth? Is he good enough for depth, or is he clogging?
I think there's potential enough there, and he's got a couple of years on his side that I don't think he's quite a clogger yet. I don't think he's keeping anyone out. I think he'll be handy if injuries do come hit, especially if they need that bigger body.
Yep.
But yeah, I don't think they're going to need him as much as that. Maybe occasionally when they play
down back,
generally down back. So maybe if they do need someone to stand toe to toe with Buddy, yeah, he'll get a crack when they play them or they play Geelong and he needs Stan Hawkins. But yeah, I think I need more from him than just the toe to toe big man sort of role.
Yeah, well, I've actually put in Stuart Comeri. I think coming back for a year off, obviously due to the Essendon saga, he's. I mean, I think they'll find that without any injuries to their starting team, you might find it hard to slot in there. They've got too many people that are fighting for that same spot. And, I mean, when you're scheduling your marriage for the day before grand final, you can't be too optimistic about your chances of getting
there.
Even if
you had to sit out the whole year.
Yeah, it's not a way to sort of win the favour of your new teammates either. I think that he'll just struggle to fit in that forward line. So, yeah, I think unless they're ravelled with injuries again, I don't think he gets a game.
Well, I put down Cramery as well, only because he is a key forward. I can't see him playing anywhere else up the ground.
Yeah,
and they've got Cloak in, which says they're worried about that. But I'll put Cramery, Cloak, and Redpath all in one.
Yeah,
because Redpath is going to miss, I think, probably the first half of the season minimum. And I actually really like Redpath as a player. I thought he presented really well. But
would you throw Stringer in there as well? In that he's shown so much, but inconsistency.
I think he could have a shocking year, and he's still not going to be on the trade table this year.
Yeah, true enough.
But I think his clutch performance has been excellent. When they needed him, he stepped up.
In the grand final, he kicked some really good goals. And even the ones he missed, I thought the shots he should have taken. And they weren't easy.
Yeah,
he and Boyd did feed off each other very, very well.
I reckon he's one of the best snaps going around, like working in the pack. Got a really good sense for goals.
When he's on, he's on.
Yeah, so you let him take those shots.
So I think last year he got dropped on more than one occasion, I think, to the VFL. I can see, if he had that kind of year again, I think he still gets one more chance.
Yeah, for sure.
Just because we know how good he can be.
Yeah,
it also depends on what sort of dollar pressure gets put on there as well. But
yeah.
You know, I think he can be a generational talent. if things come together for him. So
if he was just more consistent. He's a little bit too Alan Djakovic style. He was a Bulldog from way back.
Mm.
He was the same, could do the unbelievable and has one of the best goals per games, I think, going around.
Yeah.
But at times, just, coasted through.
The other thing could depend on how Andrew Dunkley, not Andrew,
Andrew's son.
Andrew's son, yeah. See how he goes up forward as well, because he showed some promise. Still a little bit small for the role.
His old man was one of the worst kicks I've ever seen.
This is true.
I've also put Lynn John down in there, who I think was best on ground in the VFL grand final last year.
Yeah, he was. He came in with an injury from memory.
Yeah, collarbone, wasn't it?
Yes,
yeah,
he did. That's right. Broke his collarbone.
Yeah.
I think that obviously missed out on the AFL grand final last year and had a very well publicised visit to Collingwood.
Well, that's why he deserved making sweat on the chopping block for a little bit, I think.
Exactly. I do think there's going to be, last year? Which club are you going to visit this year? He needs a big year to justify his spot on that list.
I want to see them keep the GSP. Keep the GSP tracker.
The GPS tracker.
GPS tracker on him. Like off the ground as well, just make sure they know where he's going.
Could be a little GSP if he gets abducted or something. Or I'm not impressed by your performance. So I think, look, if you're not best 22 on the last game of the year, and he wasn't, you've got to really step up. And the fact that he has had that, obviously that thought that maybe my future isn't here.
Yeah, yeah.
It's tough to get rid of that thought once it's there.
Yeah.
So where do we see the Bulldogs defending? Or I'll tell you what, I will ban anybody if they say bark to bark.
What does that mean?
Back to back?
Hadn't even occurred to me.
No. I didn't mean you two. I meant if any fan in any game during the year, if they try and make that a thing, it's not going to happen.
No, they're reigning premiers. They're going to do what the fuck they want there.
Yeah, I've got them.
They haven't been able to Skype for so long. Let them have one.
I've got them coming in at second spot at the end of the regular season.
Even up on last year.
Yeah, yeah. I think they've proven what they can do with a full squad. Don't think they're coming with that many injuries and some more people to be able to replace them. So, yeah, I see them going up in the regular season. And I just don't see what team will give them that challenge to their game plan they played so well. Yeah. And so second spot. The Danger games, I think, will be around 16 against Adelaide away. I think these games will be great matches to watch as well.
Yeah, blood oath.
And the GWS game at home. Also, they got beaten by Geelong at Etihad last year, so I think that'll be an interesting game to watch if that's Etihad Stadium. Can't remember off the top of my head.
Yeah, I agree. I think they'll finish third. Simply because we've talked so often about how a good team is defined by their average player. And to me, they've got above average players on every damn position. Like, you probably wouldn't say that any one individual member of their team is the best in their position in the ground, but every one of them is probably in the top 10.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, that's probably it.
And look, I think they just have too many above average to excellent players to not have a red hot crack at it.
The good thing for the Bulldogs is it does not matter where the top eight they finish now.
Yep.
Everyone's going to be, fucking hell, it's the Bulldogs. Mm-hmm. And they've got that that aura about them.
Yeah.
It does not matter anywhere, anytime. They actually lived it. Mm. And, you know, they played two interstate finals last year, which is just phenomenal. Look, I've got them in fifth. I don't believe they're going to have the premiership hangover as bad as Hawthorn did. There are a few players that will need to be mindful of that. But like I said, I think Lib is somebody that just lives on that kind of pressure. Tom Boyd's going to be a real big one because he was fair to middling for most of the year. But when it counted, goddamn, he stood up.
Exactly.
And that kind of reputation, it's very nice to have because it can stick with you.
It's like an Ashes century.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just like that. Yep. Mm. So I've got them in fifth, but again, that still makes them a premiership threat to everyone.
Very much so.
Nobody wants to play the Bulldogs in September.
Yeah. No, I'm not looking forward to playing in mid-season.
Yeah. But I agree. I think GWS are the team by which that they'll measure each other.
Yeah,
I think the only danger they have is the way they move the ball so quickly. If more scrutiny is given to that, and certainly more teams now are going to look at that and say, right, we have to.
You have to create choke points.
Yeah, we have to match that. That is what the premiership standard is.
Yeah.
We've got to find a way to beat that style.
And that's been the battle of coaching for the last maybe 10 years or so. Yeah. One team comes up with a game plan. Either people somebody adopt it or they figure out how they beat it.
Yep.
And the good teams try and beat it. The teams that are never going to beat them adopt it.
Yeah.
But when your game plan is also based around kick with both legs and handball with both hands,
it's not bad.
Fuck me, how did no one think of that shit?
It's not a bad foundation.
Oh, God.
All right, so enjoy a full year with the gold logo on your Guernseys for the Bulldogs.
Yep. Yeah, good luck, lads. You deserve it. And best of luck.
Peace.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.